side. It looked like ordinary flat stone with a few fissures running from the ceiling to the floor. He scraped his claws through the cracks. Nothing happened, except his claws tingled painfully. He tried sniffing around the boulder, then shoved it, but it wouldn't move any more than it had on the other side. "I hope Starflight's right," he said, pushing away the sinking feeling in his stomach. "I hope we really can open it from this side." "We can," Tsunami said fiercely. "It'll be a lever or something." She backed away a few steps, peering up at the top of the boulder. "Or magic," Clay said. "What if it's a magic word, or some kind of talisman we don't have?" Tsunami stared at the boulder for a moment, frowning, then shook her head. "They'd need an animus dragon to enchant it, and who even knows if those ever existed in the first place?" The only thing Clay remembered about the lesson on magic and animus dragons was that they had power over objects. He remembered that because Starflight spent the rest of the day sticking his nose in the air and insisting that Nightwings were far more magically powerful than any mythical animus dragons. "If they're so great, why do the Nightwings live somewhere mysterious where no one can find them?" Clay had asked. "Easy," Starflight had said loftily. "It's because we have all these special powers, and we don't want to make regular dragons feel inferior. Even though they are," his expression implied. Clay snorted. "Special powers like what?" he'd asked. "You know," Starflight had answered, irritated. "Telepathy, precognition, invisibility, hello." "You don't have invisibility," Clay had argued. "I mean, you're a black dragon. You're just hard to see in the shadows. That's not a power. I'd be invisible too if I were lying in a mud puddle." "Yeah, well," Starflight had said, "we can appear out of nowhere in the dark of night, swooping down as if the sky had just fallen on you." He'd spread his wings majestically. "Still not a power," Clay had said. "That's just you guys being creepy." "It is not creepy," Starflight had cried, his voice rising. "It is magnificent and imposing." He'd stopped and taken a deep breath. "Besides, we're the only ones with visions of the future, so there." "Well, I say, until the Nightwings come down off the clouds, all we have is rumors and a mumbo-jumbo prophecy that could mean anything." Then Clay had draped his nose off the rim of the ledge and peered across at Starflight. "I mean, it's not like you've got any special mind powers, other than being way too smart." "Well, I'll have powers eventually," Starflight had huffed. "Maybe it's something Nightwings develop when we're older. You're supposed to be studying, not making fun of me." "I wasn't making fun," Clay had protested. It was true, he'd been trying to distract Starflight from studying, though, but of course, that never worked for long. Now Clay scraped at the floor under the boulder. He actually missed Starflight. More than that, he was worried about him. How had Kestrel reacted when she couldn't find Clay, Tsunami, or Glory? She wouldn't hurt Starflight or Sunny. Would she? Suddenly, his claws caught on something. He flattened himself to the stone floor and peered underneath the boulder. A long, sturdy stick was jammed under the rock, holding it in place. "Here," he whispered to Tsunami. He wrapped his talons around the stick and tried to yank it free. After a few tries, he realized it wouldn't come loose, but it did move from side to side. He tried sliding it sideways, and the boulder began to roll. He stopped quickly and looked at Tsunami. "What if Webbs and Dune are waiting for us?" Clay asked. "They can't stop us, not all five of us, not if we all fight. The only way they kept us in was by blocking the way out. Once it's open, we'll all be free." Tsunami let out a long breath. "All right," Clay said, gritting his teeth. "Let's do this." He shoved the stick as hard as he could. The boulder slowly rolled aside with a soft, scraping sound. The central cave came into view, and a shiver ran along Clay's tail at how strange it looked from the outside. A forlorn little shape was huddled by the river, trailing her talons in the water. She turned as the boulder moved, and her gray-green eyes went wide. "Shh!" Tsunami hissed quietly, bounding across the cave toward her. Sunny leaped up at the same moment and threw her wings open. She pressed her front talons to her snout, beaming.
"You did it!" she whispered.
Clay glanced at the tunnel that led to the Guardian's cave. Even if Tsunami was right that Webbs and Dune couldn't stop them, he didn't want to stick around to find out.
"Where are the others?"
he asked quietly.
"I'll get Starflight," Sunny said, heading for the study cave. "Glory, I don't know."
She glanced up at the stalactites. Clay felt a stab of worry. Was Glory all right? What if something had happened to her while she was camouflaged? Would she have stayed invisible? What if she had fallen off a stalagmite or flown into an outcropping and hurt herself? What if...
"Right here," a voice whispered in his ear. Soft wings brushed his, and Glory's long shape shimmered into view. Her scales shifted from gray and black to a warm golden orange flecked with dark blue.
"You're all right," Clay said.
In his relief, he twined his tail around hers without thinking. She tensed, but she didn't pull away immediately like she normally would. Instead, she nudged him with her elegant snout.
"Of course I am," she said.
"I would have been fine on my own, you know." Perhaps she felt his wings droop, because she added, "But thank you for doing insanely dangerous things for me anyway."
"Anytime," Clay said happily.
Glory stepped back and nodded at where Starflight was staggering out of the tunnel from the study cave. "Kestrel was pretty furious," she said. "I just had to listen to her from my hiding place. Those two got the brunt of it." Clay started forward, but Tsunami and Sunny were already on either side of Starflight. For a horrible moment, he thought Starflight was limping. That he'd been beaten, or burned, or terribly injured by Kestrel. Then he realized that Starflight was moving oddly, because he was carrying a giant sack of scrolls on his back.
"Oh, no, you don't," Tsunami said, pulling it away from him.
"We don't need these, and you've already read them all 1,000 times."
"We might need them," Starflight protested, yanking it back. "They'll tell us what's safe to eat, and all the different tribal customs, and how to fly in bad weather, and..."
"You can tell us all those things," Clay said.
"You're going to anyway."
"But what if I forget something important?" Starflight fretted.
"Ha! You'd be a lot more likable if you ever did forget anything," Glory said.
"The only thing that's important is getting out of here right now," Tsunami said, "before Webbs and Dune wake up."
"And before Kestrel comes back," Glory added.
"What thrilling news! Kestrel is a part of this?
I've been looking for her for an awfully long time."
The five dragonettes whirled around. Queen Scarlet was standing in the entranceway. Behind her, the tunnel was blocked by a row of skywings in different shades of flame, all of them large, all of them breathing small spurts of fire, and all of them angry. But none of them looked as angry as the Queen of the Skywings.
Chapter 13.
"I haven't seen Kestrel in what, 7 years? Queen Scarlet said, in a pleasant voice that didn't match the rage in her eyes.
"What a fun reunion this is going to be."
She whipped her tail back and forth behind her.
"All my least favorite dragons in one place."
Clay was the closest dragonette to her. He took a step back toward his friends and spread his wings. She'd have to go through him to get to them. He hoped she couldn't see how his claws were shaking.
"You followed us here,"
Tsunami said, in a choked voice.
Oh, I didn't have to, said the queen. Someone sent up a lovely, helpful smoke signal for me. Let us all right here.
What a brilliant idea.
My idea, Clay thought, horrified. This is my fault. I brought the Sky Wings down on us.
Who are you? Sunny squeaked.
No, really, this is getting insulting, said the queen.
You're in my territory. Apparently you're living under my mountain, and I am only the most important dragon for hundreds of miles.
How dare you not recognize me?
She arched her neck and spread her bejeweled wings.
Queen Scarlet of the Sky Wings, Starflight breathed.
He crouched low, touching his head to the floor and crossing his front talons together.
Now that's more like it, she said, striding into the cave. 3 moons it's gloomy in here.
She glanced around, spotted Starflight's sack of scrolls, and set it ablaze with one burst of fire. Starflight stared at the burning scrolls, frozen in place. Clay edged sideways, trying to shield him and Sunny and Glory all at once. If only he were bigger.
My goodness, Queen Scarlet said, squinting. You're a Nightwing.
She batted Clay aside as if he were made of leaves and grabbed Starflight's chin. Clay scrambled up again and took a step toward her, but the clanking of armor and grim expressions of the Skywing spilling into the cave made him stop.
A Nightwing, not yet 10 years old, Queen Scarlet said,
turning Starflight around and prodding his scales like he was a cow she planned to eat for dinner.
How thrilling!
They don't normally let their dragonettes out into the world. We might corrupt their superior perfection or something, you know.
She breathed smoke into his face, and he coughed. I've never had a Nightwing in my arena before.
Thrilling, thrilling!
Tell me, what am I thinking right now?
Starflight's expression was pure terror.
Too hard, Queen Scarlet teased. I'll give you a hint. I'm thinking, now why would a Nightwing, a Seawing, and a Mudwing be hiding out under my mountain?
Along with whatever those two are that the Mudwing is cutely trying to protect.
She flicked her tail at Glory and Sunny. Clay shivered as the queen leaned closer to Starflight.
This wouldn't have anything to do with a certain prophecy, would it?
What is going on out here?
Dune grumbled, limping into the cave. He stopped short at the sight of the Skywings. His black eyes turned slowly toward the queen, and Clay saw fear on his face for the first time ever.
Webs!
He yelled, and then the maimed Sandwing hurtled across the cave toward the queen.
Stop! Sunny shrieked. They'll hurt you!
Dune didn't seem to hear her. He seized Queen Scarlet and flung her away from Starflight.
Don't touch them! He roared. You'll never get your claws on them!
The queen twisted in mid-air and landed on her feet, facing him, hissing.
They're mine now,
she snarled. She launched herself at Dune. Webs came pounding into the cave just as the Skywing soldiers erupted toward their queen. He barely paused before throwing himself in their way. His tail smacked 3 of them back, and his claws raked the underbelly of another. Clay had never seen him fight before. He hadn't known Webs could be dangerous.
Stay back, Clay said to Sunny. And you should hide yourself, he added to Glory.
Disappear while you try to die for us again? She said. No thanks.
She pushed past him and went after Tsunami, who was already fighting alongside Webs. Clay shoved Sunny up onto a boulder and ran to join them.
Wait, I can help, Sunny called. Can't I?
These dragonettes are sacred,
Dune shouted as Queen Scarlet smashed him into a stalagmite. She was smaller than him, but deceptively strong, and his old injuries slowed him down.
He staggered up, gasping, with his scarred wing trailing crookedly beside him.
They're the dragonettes of destiny. You can't have them.
But what if it's my destiny to play with them? She said, lashing her claws at his stump.
He howled, and a stream of blood poured from the new wound.
Oh, wait, that's right, she said. I don't care about destiny. I don't care about prophecies or any of that Nightwing silliness.
She scored her talons along his wing, ripping open the scars.
Besides, they made me awfully mad and then ran away. That happens to me far too often. But you know what? I always find the ones who betray me in the end, even if I have to wait 7 years.
The queen seized Dune by the neck and pinned him up against the wall.
Right, Kestrel?
Clay stumbled. The Skywing he was fighting knocked him over and trapped his tail and wings beneath 4 massive feet. The battle seemed to freeze for a moment, and from his crushed position, Clay saw Kestrel slide into the cave.
Poor, poor Scarlet, she said bitingly. Everyone betrays you. Well, you've got me now. Let these worthless others go.
She didn't even look down at the dragonettes. Clay twisted his head and met Tsunami's eyes. He would never, never have guessed that Kestrel would give herself up to save them. Maybe she really meant it about keeping them alive. Maybe that was the only thing she cared about, no matter how much she hated them.
Kestrel, the queen tisked. That sounded like an order. Have you switched from disobeying orders to giving them now?
I won't fight,
Kestrel said, her voice cold and hard.
I'll come with you. Just leave them. These dragonettes have nothing to do with the Skywings.
You will come with me, said Queen Scarlet. Funny that you thought you had a choice about that. We've got a thrilling trial planned, followed by an even more thrilling execution.
But as for these little dragons, she swept her tail toward Clay and his friends.
You can't really expect me to give up prizes like this.
They're no prizes, Kestrel snorted. They're useless, every one of them.
Plus, I'm weird-looking,
Sunny chimed in from the top of her rock. The queen's tongue flicked out of her mouth, and more smoke coiled around her horns.
Oh, they're just the new blood my arena needs. It would be terribly sad to let them go. I would be too, too devastated.
Clay tried to heave the Skywing off him, but the soldier who had him pinned was too big. He barely glanced down at Clay's pathetic struggles.
This would be a good time to call up that inner monster, Clay thought,
but no surge of strength or violence or rage answered him.
Take them all, Queen Scarlet announced. Except this one, of course.
She shook Dune lightly, as if she were shaking the fluff off a dead pigeon. He clawed at her talons, his eyes bulging.
I mean, what use is a crippled dragon who can't fly?
I'm surprised you haven't killed yourself already, Sandwing.
But I can take care of that for you.
No!
Sunny screamed, leaping at them. But it was too late. With a chilling crack, Queen Scarlet snapped Dune's neck and dropped his body on the stone floor.
Dune!
Sunny howled. She squirmed past Scarlet and crouched beside him, shaking him with her front talons. His mangled wing flopped, and his scales scraped against the rocks. His black eyes were empty.
Dune, wake up!
Clay was too horrified to move, even if he could have escaped the Skywing soldier.
Dune is dead. And it's all my fault. I came up with a smoke signal plan. I brought the Skywings here to kill him. Who else is going to die because of me?
Kestrel suddenly lunged at the Skywing soldiers. She grabbed the one who was clutching webs and ripped him free.
tell the Talons,
she snarled, shoving Webbs toward the river. Before anyone could stop him, Webbs pelted down the slope and dove into the water. A huge wave doused the rocks and splashed all the dragons. He vanished below the surface while Clay was still blinking. Clay remembered the tight gap and the long tunnel he'd swum through. Would Webbs fit? Would he make it outside?
Ooh, Queen Scarlet said, wiping her crest dry with one claw. The Talons apiece. I hope they try storming my sky palace to save you. That would be thrilling fun, especially the part where we slaughter them all.
The Skywing soldiers brought chains forward and started wrapping each of the dragonettes in heavy iron. Clay caught Glory's eye.
Hide, he mouthed. She shook her head. No way. I'm going with you, she whispered.
The weight of the chains made Clay's wings and head droop as they were all marched through the tunnel and out into the dawn. The sun was slithering up the sky, casting golden light across the mountains. Clay glanced up and thought he saw a dark figure circle overhead, spot them, and fly away. He guessed it might be Morrowseer, but he wasn't surprised that the Nightwing made no effort to rescue them. Nightwings never got their claws dirty. They delivered prophecies and told other dragons what to do, but they stayed out of the war and avoided fighting. Clay's heart ached. They'd come so close to freedom, but now they were far worse off than before. Life under the mountain had felt like prison, but he knew it was nothing compared to being trapped in the claws of the Skywing Queen. Part 2. In the Sky Kingdom. Chapter 14. The Queen's prisoners were kept in the sky. For the whole first day, Clay kept his eyes shut. His talons gripped the rock below him so tightly he started to lose feeling in his legs. One glance over the edge, one glimpse of the dizzying drop below him, and he feared he would lose consciousness and fall. With his wings folded over and clamped in Skywing metal clips, falling meant death. Horrible, painful, bone-shattering death. But then, he wasn't entirely sure if that would be worse than Queen Scarlet's plans for them, whatever they were. His prison cell was at the top of a towering spire of rock. A narrow stone platform gave him just enough room to walk in a circle and lie down. There were no walls. There was no roof. There was only open blue sky and the fierce wind whistling around his ears day and night. On the second day, a hunk of meat hit him in the face. Hunger forced his eyes open. An unusual Skywing dragon was flying in loops around his perch. He guessed she was only a year or two older than him. Her horns were full size, but her teeth were still sharp and white, not yet blunted or stained. Veins of gold ran through her glimmering copper wings, and smoke seemed to be coming from her scales as well as her mouth. She stopped and hovered in front of him. Her eyes were startling, like two small blue flames blazing through the smoke. Clay was pretty sure Skywings normally had orange or yellow eyes. He wondered if there was something wrong with this one, like Sunny. Something dead and bloody and charred lay on the stone in front of him. Clay took one look at the blood, remembered the shape of Dune's broken neck, and threw up over the side of the platform. To his surprise, the other dragon started laughing.
Oh, gross, she said. Too bad the barracks aren't down there. The guards seriously deserve that.
Unwillingly, Clay looked over the edge. His rock tower prison was one of about 100 spires spread out in a huge circle. Nearly every one had a dragon trapped at the top, like him. Like him, they each had thin metal clamps on the outer edge of their wings.
In the center of the circle was a bowl of rock, like an empty lake, with sand at the bottom and sheer walls. Above the walls were rows of benches, balconies, and caves for spectators to look down into the arena. At the bottom of his tower, there was only bare rock. But from up here, he could see the heart of the Skywing Kingdom stretched across the mountaintop. Queen Scarlet's vast palace was carved into the gray and black rocks of the peak. Half of it was inside tunnels and caves, while the other half was open to the sky and bristling with defenses. Fire-colored dragons crawled across the mountain face, digging and blasting out new palace extensions until they were covered in stone dust and dirt and looked no brighter than mud wings. The war had slashed this kingdom with sharp talons. Clay spotted collapsed towers, scorch marks along several walls, and a ravine half full of dragon bones. Even as he watched, he saw two Skywings carry in the corpse of a crimson dragon and dump it in the ravine. They set fire to the body and hovered for a moment over the smoke, their wings brushing against each other. Then they wheeled and flew away, leaving the body to blaze down into ashes and singed bones. Far off to the east, Clay could see the blue, glittering line of the sea. He also noticed the thin wires that twisted around his legs and neck. He'd been too terrified and confused to pay attention to what the Skywings did with him when they first arrived. The wires stretched from him out to the necks and legs of other prisoners, who all had them as well. One went to his left, to one leg of a moon-silver ice wing on the next column, who is asleep with her tail over her nose. One wire was attached to the dragon on his right, a fuming sand wing whose pacing made the wire shake. The last three wires snaked out across the circle. He couldn't tell where those wires went. They disappeared into a tangled web above the bowl, connecting all the trapped dragons. So, even if Queen Scarlet's captives could fly away, they'd have to all lift off at once. And then all 100 prisoners would be stuck with each other. They wouldn't get very far that way. He wondered what would happen if one dragon fell off his spire. Would the wires drag down all the others as well?
"Aren't you going to eat?" asked the Skywing, who was flapping around him.
"I'm not hungry," Clay said, tucking his head under his wing. He could hear her wing beats as she circled him a few more times.
"Is it the wrong thing?" she asked. "I don't know what mudwings eat. We've never had one before. You know, because we're on the same side in the war. So that would be rude, taking them prisoner, I mean. But you're in the Talons of Peace, so the mudwings won't care what we do to you. Come on, you have to eat something."
"Why?"
Clay asked, keeping his head buried.
"Because I don't want you to die before I kill you," she said.
Her tone so matter-of-fact that it took Clay a few moments to register what she'd said. He poked out his snout and stared at her.
"I've never fought a mudwing," she said,
deftly avoiding the wires as she looped around him again.
"Since we're allies and all, so I'm really curious. I bet it's totally different from fighting sea wings and ice wings. But Her Majesty will make you fight some of the regular prisoners first, and if you die, then I don't get to fight you."
"And that would be sad," Clay said.
"Right, not blazing at all. The most blazing will be fighting the Nightwing, though. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. What if he can read my mind and knows what I'm going to do before I do it?"
She tilted her wings and swooped underneath Clay.
"At least he's eating. Hey, I wonder if she'll make you fight each other. But then, I'd only get to fight one of you. Do you think you could beat a Nightwing?" "Probably not, huh?"
"Starflight?" Clay said. "Is he all right? Where is he?"
He stood up and peered out at the circle of prisoners.
It wasn't so bad as long as he didn't look down. He could see several blue and green dragons who must be sea wings, but none of the ones close enough to identify were tsunami. Most of the trapped dragons were sea wings, ice wings, or sand wings. They must be prisoners of war. A few were red or orange sky wings. He guessed those were subjects who had somehow displeased the queen. Only one prisoner was midnight black, and he was nearly on the opposite side of the circle from Clay. So far away. Clay couldn't see his face, but he could tell that Starflight was sitting still, in his helpful, terrified stalagmite pose, his head drooping. If only he could read minds. Clay wished desperately that he could get a message across the arena. Although he didn't know what he would say. Maybe just that he was sorry for all the times he'd teased Starflight, or hidden his favorite scroll, or whined about studying.
See him? Asked the Skywing. He doesn't talk much.
Clay snorted. Ask him to teach you something, like how the dragons took Pyria from the scavengers during the scorching. Then you won't be able to shut him up.
I'll do that, she said.
Apparently missing that Clay was joking. He squinted at her. The light up here was too bright, and it was even brighter when it reflected off her smoking, copper-colored scales.
Who are you?
He asked.
Are you a guard?
Ick!
No, I'm Peril, she said proudly. The Queen's champion. What's your name?
Clay, he said. What did you mean about fighting me? Why do we have to fight?
Wow, she said. Are you serious? Have you been living under a rock or something?
Pretty much, Clay said with a grimace.
Really? She tilted her head curiously and thought for a moment. All right, that's the Queen's arena down there. She flicked her long, pointed tail at the bowl below them. There's a battle almost every day for Her Majesty's amusement. If you win enough battles, you go free.
How many is that?
Clay asked.
I don't know, she said. Nobody's ever done it. Her Majesty always sends me in after any dragon has a few wins, and I always kill them.
She shifted her wings in a shrug. I'm really dangerous.
And possibly crazy, Clay thought. How many lives has she taken? Does she keep count? Does she care?
What are you looking for? Peril asked.
Clay had been scanning the prisoners around the circle since spotting Starflight, but he couldn't see any tiny gold dragons or unusual colors. Where were Sunny and Glory?
The other dragons who were brought in with me, he said. Do you know where they are?
The sea wing is over there, Peril said, spiraling up above him and pointing to a deep blue dragon halfway between him and Starflight.
Clay immediately recognized Tsunami's angry tail lashing.
Boring, Peril added. I fought plenty of sea wings. Easy, once you know their tricks.
I bet Tsunami has some tricks you've never seen before, Clay thought. What about the rain wing?
She tilted her head at him. There's a rain wing here?
You can't fight her, he said quickly. They have no defenses. It wouldn't be fair.
I do whatever Her Majesty tells me to, said Peril. But I haven't seen a rain wing. They didn't bring her to the arena.
There's a sand wing too,
Clay said desperately.
She's really small and golden and kind of odd-looking.
Haven't seen any dragons like that, Peril said. But I'll keep an eye out, if you want.
She did a slow backward somersault in the air and tipped her wings at him.
I'd better go warm up. Cheer for me.
Peril dove toward the arena. He watched her glowing copper shape spiral down onto the sand below. A few other dragons were in the arena, sweeping or checking the walls or guarding the seats.
Clay noticed that they all hurried to move away from peril. Wherever she went, dragons fled, as if she had an invisible cloud of poison around her. None of them would even look at her. Peril didn't seem to care. She strode around the arena as if she knew everyone would clear out of her way. Her head kept turning toward the largest rock balcony, which jutted out of a cave overlooking the arena. Finally, she flicked her tail and vanished into a dark opening in the side of the arena wall. Clay crouched to peer over the edge. He hung on tightly with his talons and fought back the dizzying nausea caused by the view. The smell of the dead rabbit wasn't helping. He wondered if he could hit one of the Skywing soldiers if he threw the carcass from up here. He couldn't remember the last time he'd eaten. Was it before Morrisseer appeared under the mountain? Wasn't that a lifetime ago? But his normally huge appetite seemed to have deserted him. As he watched, dragons started filing into the seats below. Nearly all of them were Skywings, but he spotted the pale yellow and white of Sandwings here and there as well. There were even one or two Mudwings. His heart jumped. His own kind! Did they know he was up here? Would they demand his release if they found out, even though he was supposedly in the Talons of Peace? So Mudwings and Skywings were allies on one side of the war. Clay had never been able to remember that before, but he was pretty sure he would now. If only Starflight had thought of chaining me to a tower above gladiator fights, I might have been an excellent history student then. He didn't know how long it took for the stands to fill, but the sun was blazing directly overhead when two of the guards let out a trumpeting roar. All the other dragons snapped to attention. Across the stadium, heads bent, wings tipped, talons were crossed, and silence fell as everyone waited. Queen Scarlet stepped out onto the large balcony and spread her wings, catching the sunlight in the reflection of her orange scales. The fire-breathing hiss of all the gathered dragons greeted her. Clay knew this sound only as a warning that Kestrel was about to spout flames at him. It took him a moment to realize that the Skywing dragons were hissing with respect. He squinted at the dragons around the queen. Several large Skywing guards took up positions along the balcony, and two of them moved to roll something forward into the sunlight. It looked like a tree with no leaves, a sinuous, curving shape with four branches, carved from a single spear of pale gray marble. Looped over the branches, with her tail wound around the trunk, was a dragon the color of deep red rose petals. But as the sunlight hit her, new colors exploded through her scales, constellations of gold sparks, galaxies of swirling violet, shifting pale blue nebulas. Clay inhaled sharply, and at the same moment, he heard gasps and murmurs flutter through the crowd below. It was glory, and she was even more dazzling in the sunshine than he'd expected. A delicate silver chain leashed her to the tree sculpture. It looked flimsy and easy to break, but Glory didn't seem interested in escaping. She stretched her long neck up toward the sun, ignoring the audience, and then coiled herself over the branches again and closed her eyes. The guards positioned Glory's tree in one corner of the balcony, and the queen stepped forward. "Well," she said, in a sly, smiling voice that carried across the arena and up to the prisoners. "What do you think of my new art?" "Art?" Clay thought furiously. "As if Glory's nothing more than a tapestry to hang on the wall, not a dragon with feelings and ideas and a destiny and friends who care about her?" But why wasn't Glory fighting it? And where was Sunny? Dragons in the lower seats began to applaud, and soon the whole stadium thundered with the beating of wings and talons. Queen Scarlet settled herself on a large, flat boulder, looking pleased, and flicked her tail for silence. "Bring in the combatants," she called.
Peril swept in from the tunnel, waving to the crowd. Clay noticed that the applause was muted, as if most of the dragons weren't really sure they wanted to cheer for her. Meanwhile, three of the Skywing guards flew up to the prisoner on Clay's right. One of them seized the Sandwing's venomous tail and held it out of the way. The Sandwing fought, howling angry curses, as the other two unclipped his wires and hooked them to a ring in the center of the ledge. Clay thought for a moment that the prisoner was going to hurl himself off the edge, despite the bands that were still on his wings, but the guards gripped him tightly and swooped him down to the sands below. They dropped him in a heap in the middle of the arena. Peril turned to look at him, her eyes glinting. Clay realized with a sickening lurch in his stomach that he was about to watch a dragon die. Chapter 15. Clay didn't want to watch, but he knew that if he might have to fight Peril one day, he should study her technique. He glanced up at the distant figures of Tsunami and Starflight. It looked like they were watching intently too, along with most of the prisoners above the arena. One of the Skywing guards stood in the center of the arena and clapped his wings thunderously until the audience was quiet. He bowed to the queen and announced,
"After Four Winds, Horizon the Sandwing, formerly and unwisely a soldier in Blaze's army, has been challenged to a match with the queen's champion, Peril. Claws up! Fire ready! Fight!"
He sprang out of the arena, leaving Peril and the Sandwing facing each other. Horizon shrank back against the far wall, hissing. Peril stalked slowly toward him, tilting her copper wings to reflect the sunlight. Her long tail snaked across the sand. It still looked like smoke was rising from her scales. Horizon crouched, then suddenly leaped over Peril's head and fled to the other side of the arena. He didn't try to claw her or strike her on the way past. He didn't even lash out with his poisonous tail. He just ran away. Why is he so afraid of her? Clay wondered uneasily. Peril turned in an unhurried way and smiled at Horizon. His black eyes darted left and right, searching for an escape. Suddenly, he made a dash for the tunnel. All at once, Peril was in his way, lashing her claws across his chest. It didn't look like more than a scratch from what Clay could see, but Horizon screamed in agony and fell back, scrabbling across the sand. Peril followed, slashing another scratch along his side. Horizon screamed again. His banded wings flapped desperately as if he were still trying to fly. Calmly, almost gently, Peril reached out and touched one of his wings, pinning it to his body. Horizon's screams intensified into one long, ear-shattering wail. Clay couldn't understand it. She was only touching him, nothing more. Then Peril let go, and as she stepped back, Clay saw the scorched talon print she left behind on Horizon's scales. It looked as if she had branded him, burning his skin without ever breathing fire. Clay squinted and realized there was smoke rising from Horizon's scratches. Did Peril have fire in her claws? How was that possible? He looked across at Starflight's slumped form, wishing that the Nightwing was close enough to explain everything to him. Suddenly, Horizon attacked. He flung himself at Peril, slashing at her eyes and jabbing his tail at her heart. Peril whirled, avoiding his claws, and knocked him to the sand. His barbed tail bounced off her scales with a spark like miniature lightning and then burst into flames. Fire engulfed the poisoned tip, and Horizon howled in pain. Clay had never seen anything like it. He'd never heard of dragons setting other dragons on fire just by touching them. Horizon beat his tail against the sand, trying to put the fire out as Peril fainted around him. She darted in to give him another scratch. But before she could dart away again, Horizon turned and grabbed her forearms in his talons. He threw his wings around her and buried his face in her shoulder with a high-pitched, keening sound. Peril froze. Smoke billowed off the two dragons, and black marks crawled along Horizon's wings until they started disintegrating into ash. He crumpled slowly to the ground, and Peril crouched with him, holding him up with her wings. A violent shudder went through the Sandwing's whole body. He let go of Peril and flopped slowly onto his side on the sand. Disfiguring burns had melted his facial features, and his wings were charred into black strands between large holes. His talons had scorch marks in the center of their palms. Clay had a sudden, quick flash of memory. Kestrel had the same scorch marks on her talons. Had she fought with Peril back when Kestrel lived in the Skywing Kingdom? How had she survived? Peril stood up, looking down at the dead Sandwing. A disappointed murmur was starting to spread around the stadium. Her copper wings wavered, and she turned to glance up at Queen Scarlet. The queen sighed and stood up.
"Well, that was boring," she said.
She raised her voice to address all the prisoners.
"I hope some of you up there are braver than this pathetic creature."
Clay had never felt less brave. Peril was clearly a whole new category of monster. If Horizon couldn't beat her, perhaps forcing a quick death, even a horrible one, was still a better choice than being killed slowly for the queen's entertainment.
"Don't worry,"
the queen said to the crowd, shaking out her wings.
"We have a special treat tomorrow, something we've never seen before. Hopefully this time someone will at least try to amuse me, unlike some dragons."
Queen Scarlet gave Horizon's body a stern glare, turning her frown on Peril as well. Peril bowed her head and stared at the sand.
"Dismissed,"
said the queen with a wave of one talon. She turned and swept away. Clay leaned out as far as he dared, watching Glory sleep while the soldiers rolled her back into the tunnels. Maybe she was drugged. Maybe the queen had threatened her somehow. Maybe she was sick, or there was something else terribly wrong. He didn't know who to worry about more. Glory, Sunny, who was still missing, or Starflight, who might be thrown into battle tomorrow. Was that what the queen meant by something we've never seen before? Starflight was good at maps and dates and facts and tests, but his claw-to-claw combat skills were tragic. Clay wasn't at all sure that Starflight could survive the arena.
Chapter 16. As the sun began to sink below the mountains, Clay dozed off, still worrying about his friends. He woke up to the smell of burnt prey and the growling of his stomach. Two of the moons were high overhead, while the third was a dim ivory blur glowing behind a distant peak. His eyes were finally starting to adjust to the bigness of everything. This view was just about the opposite of what he'd grown up with under the mountain. Clay twisted his head toward the smell of prey behind him and nearly toppled off the ledge in surprise. Peril was perched on the far side of his stone platform, with her tail tucked around her legs and her wings folded in, as if she were trying to make herself as small as possible. Even so, there was only about the length of a dragon tail between them, and Clay could clearly feel the burning heat coming off her scales. It wasn't a warm, basking heat like Sunny and Dune had. It felt like standing too close to an erupting volcano.
"Oh, good, finally," she said. She nodded at a lump of meat on the rock between them. "I brought you something different. Well, I made the guard let me bring it. I hope you don't mind that it's a little crispy."
She spread her front talons in an oddly hopeless gesture. Clay peered at the prey, which smelled like smoky duck. He wanted it, but he was afraid of getting any closer to peril. What if she burned him, even by accident?
"I'll be careful," she said, guessing his thoughts. "I'll stay really still, I promise."
She glanced around at the slumbering prisoners. "I just thought it might be less obvious if I sat here instead of flying around you." She didn't sound like a monster. Clay couldn't put this quiet dragon together with the brutal killer he'd seen earlier that day. He scraped the duck toward him, then devoured it in two bites. It tasted like ash and crunched strangely between his teeth.
"Oh dear," Peril said. "That was fast. Do you want another one?"
"I'm all right," Clay said.
She scraped one claw across the rocks. "Do you want me to go away?"
"No,"
he said, and she looked up, surprised.
"Stay and talk to me," he offered.
"Aren't you afraid of me, now that you've seen what I can do?"
"Of course I am," he said honestly. "But you're still better company than the pigeons. All they want to talk about is nest design and who to poop on."
Peril barked a laugh. She seemed much more subdued than she had when they first met. He studied her face in the moonlight.
Are you all right?" he asked.
Peril blinked several times fast. Instead of answering, she said,
"That was weird today, wasn't it?"
"What was weird?"
"The Sandwing. Horizon. The way he just gave up."
She opened and closed her wings, and Clay flinched.
"Why would he do that?" Peril went on. "It's poor form. I guess I should have pushed him away to make him keep fighting. Her Majesty was pretty angry."
"At you?" Clay said. "That doesn't seem fair."
Peril blinked again.
"Really?" she said. "It doesn't?"
She shook her head.
"No. The queen is right. It's my responsibility to make the fight exciting if the other dragon won't do it."
"Why do you do what she says?" Clay asked. "Do you like fighting?" What he really wanted to ask was, "Do you like killing?" But he was afraid of what the answer might be. Would he like killing? If he'd been given the chance to do it over and over again with no consequences, was that the kind of dragon he was supposed to be? Would he like it if he had to do it tomorrow in the arena?
"Of course," Peril said. "I'm good at fighting, and not much else. And she's my queen. I'm her champion."
"Why you?"
Clay asked, risking getting closer to his real question. "What's wrong with you?"
"No one else wants me,"
Peril said matter-of-factly.
"No one can even touch me. You saw that. I was born with too much fire. Usually, when dragons like me hatch, the Skywings drop them off the highest mountain peak. That's what my mother was going to do, but Queen Scarlet saved me and killed her to punish her."
Her eyes went cold at the words, "my mother."
"Wow," Clay said faintly.
"Yeah," said Peril. "If you want to know everything, I burned up my twin and our egg. I sucked all the fire out of him and scorched him to a crisp."
She shrugged, but there was a wobbliness to her voice.
"I attacked the other eggs in my nest when I hatched," Clay said. It felt really strange to say out loud. "At least, that's what the big dragons told me. They said I tried to kill my nestmates. I don't remember it."
Peril tilted her head. "So maybe we were both born to kill other dragons,"
she said. Clay wished she didn't sound so happy about it. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's the monster I could be if I let myself.
I don't really want to do that, he admitted. I like fighting, but the only thing I've ever killed is prey.
Her Majesty said I might as well follow my true nature, Peril said. That's how she raised me, letting me be myself, giving me dragons to kill. Maybe you'd feel better if you could be who you really are.
I hope that's not who I am, Clay said.
In the moonlight, Peril's expression changed, and he realized he'd hurt her feelings.
Not that, he stammered.
Nice work, Clay. How are you going to finish that sentence? Not that there's anything wrong with being a killer. Or maybe, but it seems to be going great for you.
I mean, maybe I was born that way. But does that mean I'm like that forever? I guess I hope I have a choice is all. I want to be who I want to be, not who I have to be, right? Do you ever, I mean, wouldn't you want to be different? If you could be anyone?
No,
Peril said, clawing at the rock under her talons.
I've accepted myself, and I like myself this way. You should do the same thing.
Something clattered far below them, and Peril jumped.
I better go, she said.
Wait, Clay said. Please, who's supposed to fight tomorrow? Can you talk to the Queen? Tell her not to send in the Nightwing. He's not ready for the arena.
Are you serious? Peril said. She'd be furious. She's so excited to see him fight.
Tell her I volunteer instead, Clay blurted. Tell her I'm ready, and I promise I'll make it exciting.
Peril was already shaking her head.
I can't. I'm forbidden to talk to you. She was really mad when she found out I visited you before. I guess you're not like the other prisoners.
Clay paused, thinking. That was strange. Why did Queen Scarlet care if Peril talked to him?
But you came to see me anyway?
She shuffled her talons and looked a little embarrassed.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, it didn't seem fair. I like talking to you. Her Majesty never has time to talk to me, and my only other friend is old and tells the same stories over and over again. You're blazing.
So, she doesn't obey every order Queen Scarlet gives her. Good to know. He realized she was looking at him, hopefully. He said.
You're blazing too?
Peril grinned, sharp white teeth flashing in the moonlight.
That's what Her Majesty says. She likes me the way I am, and nobody else ever has. Until you.
Yikes, Clay thought. He wasn't sure he did like her the way she was, or that he wanted to be best friends with a dragon who was planning to kill him eventually. But there was something not entirely awful about Peril. An awkwardness and sadness that he kind of understood. And maybe there was a chance he could talk her out of the whole killing plan. Maybe that was why Queen Scarlet didn't want her talking to him. In the meanwhile, though, he had to focus on saving Starflight.
Listen, he said. Could you talk to her about Starflight anyway? What if you acted like you came up with it yourself? A Mudwing is still something new, right? So send me in first and save him for later. Besides, if he dies in his first fight, that would be a waste, wouldn't it?
He swallowed the lump that rose in his throat at the idea of Starflight dying.
You think he would?
Peril said, gazing out at the circle of prisoners. Even with the bright light of the moons, it was hard to see the dark lump of dragon on Starflight's pedestal.
Can he use his powers? Reading minds and all that?
Poor Starflight. Clay wondered if a normal Nightwing,
raised around other Nightwings, would already have his powers by now. He didn't want Peril and Queen Scarlet to know that Starflight was powerless, but he didn't want them to risk Starflight's life because they thought he could do something special.
"They're a little unpredictable," he hazarded. "He's not full grown, you know. He's still learning how to use them. Although, of course, they're very scary when they work."
He hoped the Skywings had no more information about Nightwing powers than Starflight's scrolls did.
"Oh," Peril said. "That makes sense."
Her tail twitched over her talons as she thought. Clay tried to sidle a bit closer to the edge, away from her blistering heat.
"All right," she said finally. "I'll try."
"Thank you," Clay said.
Peril spread her wings to fly away and then hesitated, looking at him.
"You wouldn't do that, would you?"
Clay tried to think what she meant.
"Kill yourself like that," she said. "The way Horizon did."
She coughed, and a small ring of smoke puffed out of her snout. Clay had no idea what he would do if he ever had to fight Peril. It sounded even more terrifying than swimming down the underground river. He met her eerie blue eyes and realized that she looked very worried.
"I don't think so,"
he said truthfully. He couldn't imagine choosing to die that way, and he didn't think he was brave enough to do it either.
"Oh, good," she said. "I'd much rather kill you fair and square. Well, good night."
She leaped up into the air and beat her wings, sending a wave of heat over Clay's scales. He felt very unsettled as he watched her spiral down to the arena. Peril was the first dragon he'd met outside the mountain, if you didn't count Queen Scarlet. Maybe she wasn't as strange as he thought. Maybe switching between friendly conversation and violence was normal for a dragon. But somehow, he didn't think so. Was she right about his true nature? If he'd been raised like her, killing dragons and feeding the monster inside him, maybe he'd be less worried all the time. Maybe he needed to accept that part of him, like she had. But would his friends still like him? Would he be more or less worthy of the prophecy that way? One thing was for sure. Whenever he did end up in the arena, he'd find out how he felt about killing pretty fast.
Chapter 17. The next morning, three blood-red Skywing guards arrive to unchain Clay.
"What's happening?"
Clay asked nervously as they unclipped the wires around his legs. He'd gotten used to the feeling that something would catch him if he fell, even if it would probably hurt.
"Private audience with the Queen," sniffed one.
"Is that a good thing?" Clay asked. "Or a bad thing? I've never been a prisoner before. Unless, technically, maybe I sort of was, but not like this. This is a lot windier. Plus, there's the Queen. That's new. Does she normally meet with prisoners? Maybe right before letting them go?"
"Shut up,"
snapped the guard who had answered him before.
"Right. Yes," Clay said. "Only I was wondering about the other dragonettes who are with me and if I could maybe see them."
One of the guards tightened the wire around his neck and hissed.
"Another word and there's going to be an unfortunate accident on the way down to the throne room."
Clay glanced over the edge and shut his mouth firmly. So far, it seemed to him that most Skywings were just as grumpy as Kestrel. With a start, he realized he'd forgotten to worry about Kestrel. The Queen had talked to her as if they once knew each other. He craned his neck, looking for her among the prisoners as the guards flew him down to the arena. But none of the red or orange Skywings on the spires were quite the right color or size. He noticed with a shiver of fear that Starflight's perch was empty. He must have been taken away while Clay was sleeping. But why?
As they reached the sandy ground, Clay twisted to look up at Tsunami and saw three more Skywings surrounding her. They were having a hard time getting close. She lashed and fought and swung her powerful tail at them in a fury.
Oops, Clay thought. Should I have done that? He hadn't struggled with the guards at all.
He glanced around the arena, wondering if he should try to run now. But his wings were still clamped, and there was only one doorway out of the arena. Since the guards were already dragging him toward it, it seemed a little pointless to break free and then run exactly where they were going anyway. So he let them lead him into the smoky tunnel, lit with flaming torches, and an occasional skylight cut through the rock overhead. The tunnel was wide enough for three dragons to walk side by side, wings spread. It sloped upward through the mountain, into the palace Clay had seen from his prison perch. At one point, they passed a large cave with tall, narrow windows cut into the walls, casting bars of sunlight on the stone floor. A pool of water separated the cave from the tunnel. On one wall hung a full-length portrait of Queen Scarlet, staring majestically down her nose. Clay spotted the glint of a few copper scales on the floor and wondered if it was Peril's room. There was nothing else in the cave. It occurred to him that she probably couldn't sleep on animal skins or read scrolls because her touch would burn right through them. But if fighting was all she was good for, why hadn't the queen sent Peril out into the war? Why was she kept here for gladiator fights instead? Perhaps Queen Scarlet didn't completely trust the hold she had on Peril. If she were let loose into the world, Peril might realize she didn't have to be a killer. Or she might decide to kill anyone she liked without waiting for the queen's permission. Soon Clay heard clattering and clanking and chattering up ahead, as if a crowd of dragons were busily hurrying about. Then the passageway opened out into a vast hall, and he saw that was exactly what he was hearing. He was standing on a wide balcony with no railing, two levels up from the ground floor. The balcony ran all the way around the hall in a large square, and above it, Clay could see five more levels of balconies, and above that, the open sky. Dragons were hurrying everywhere, glowing in the light. Large windows were cut into the walls all the way up, so the hall was flooded with sunshine. The floors blazed as if little rivers of fire ran through them. When Clay looked more closely, he saw a design of talon prints inlaid with gold, running through the stone under his talons. Gold veins were carved into the walls as well, some of them branching into flames or tracing shapes like clouds in the rock. Clay remembered that the queen must be very wealthy. This showed how powerful she was as well. Even with all this gold at their claw tips, no dragon dared to dig it out and steal it. The guards shoved him in the direction where the gold talon prince led. Clay followed the trail, gazing at the dragons bustling around the hall. Skywings flew from level to level, hopping across the great space and dodging wings and tails as they went. Some of them exchanged small message scrolls in midair. Others were carrying buckets of water, or clean animal skins, or platters of food. Everyone seemed either very busy, or as if they were trying to look very busy. Clay saw one young orange dragonette winging up to the highest level with a bucket of soapy water clutched in her talons. As she reached the top balcony, her tail tangled with another dragon's, and she overbalanced. She lunged for the ledge and dropped the bucket, which plummeted all the way down, whooshing past Clay and the guards. A moment later, there was a clang, and then a furious roar briefly silenced the hubbub. All the dragons in the hall glanced down. A furious and familiar roar. Clay darted to the edge of the balcony and looked down. At the bottom of the hall, under a metal grid, a dragon was trapped like a pinned squirrel. The bucket was rolling across the iron bars. All the suds and water had spilled out over the prisoner.
It was Kestrel. She seized the bars and rattled them angrily as a murmur of laughter rippled around the hall. Clay didn't get a chance to see anything more. The guards yanked him back and shoved him along the talon print trail again. He wondered if that was a special cell for particularly bad prisoners, and if so, what Kestrel had done to deserve it. She'd never talked about her life before the Talons of Peace, or why she'd left the Skywing Kingdom. He'd always kind of imagined that she'd been kicked out for being too grouchy. Although now he guessed that would have made her fit right in. He stopped thinking about Kestrel as the guards pushed him into Queen Scarlet's throne room. The queen was seated on top of a rock column carved in the shape of clouds, staring down at the dragons on the floor below her. The wall opposite her was entirely open to the sky, revealing a steep drop and jagged rocks below. The gold tracery in the rocks and floor went over the top in here, as if a giant dragon had stumbled around the room vomiting gold all over the place. Clay could barely see at first through the blaze of reflected sunshine. Then his eyes adjusted, and he spotted Glory, laid out along her tree in the sunlight. She had her eyes closed and looked more relaxed than he'd ever seen her. A slow pulse of crimson teardrops wandered through her dark gold and navy blue scales. Two Skywing soldiers stood threateningly in front of her, barring Clay's way. Starflight was kneeling before the queen in a submissive bow. Clay broke away from his guards to crouch beside his friend.
"Are you all right?"
he whispered. Starflight glanced up at the queen and gave a tiny shake of his head. "The Nightwing is trying to tell you that it's rude to talk to anyone else before the queen in her own throne room," said Queen Scarlet. "First, you bow to me, and then you stay put until I'm ready to address you all. Really, what are they teaching dragonettes these days? It's so very disrespectful."
"Sorry," Clay mumbled, trying to match the bowing position Starflight was in. Somehow his talons didn't fold in quite the same elegant way. His wings felt like they were sticking out at weird angles. He peeked under one arm at Glory and nearly fell on his head.
Queen Scarlet arched her ruby-encrusted eyebrows at him and sniffed disapprovingly. Clay tried to stay as still as he could. An eternity passed. There were no other dragons in the throne room besides the guards around Glory and the three at the door who had brought Clay. There was no sign of Sunny anywhere. Queen Scarlet studied each of her claws one by one. Now and then she sharpened them on the rocks beside her. Finally, they heard a commotion in the tunnel outside. Clay couldn't help looking over his shoulder when he recognized Tsunami's voice shouting curses. A whole pack of Skywings came in dragging the Seawing Dragonette. She had several of the strange wires wrapped around her, binding her talons to her side and trapping her powerful tail. Her head whipped around, snapping at each of them, so they were having trouble moving her more than a few steps at a time. At last they rolled her alongside Clay, and all the guards jumped back. Clay saw with satisfaction that more than one guard had long scratches and bite marks that looked like Tsunami's work.
"Well, hello," the queen said, looking amused. "We've been waiting for you. I gather you're enjoying your stay?"
"This is an outrage," Tsunami hissed. "How can you treat dragons this way? Especially us. We're the..."
"Dragonettes of Destiny, yes, very thrilling," said Queen Scarlet. "I understand you've been underground for the last 6 years, so perhaps you haven't heard, not everyone wants this war to end."
Starflight shifted a little on Clay's left side, and Clay could tell he wanted to argue, but the Nightwing kept silent.
"Personally, I think the war is quite entertaining," the queen went on. "I pick up lots of contenders for the arena from the battlefield, and it's a terrific distraction for those dragons who might otherwise have challenged me for the throne. No one's even tried in about 8 or 9 years. Saves me a lot of trouble."
So it's all right with you that hundreds of dragons have died all across the world?
Tsunami spat. The queen gave her a pitying look. As if you know anything about that.
Have you ever been in a real battle? Have you ever seen hundreds of dragons die? Do you know anything, really, about this war?
Tsunami's mouth opened and closed a few times.
We studied it, she said fiercely. We know it's awful. We know innocent dragons are getting hurt.
Well, it's easy to say war's awful, Queen Scarlet said, waving one talon.
But it's a lot harder to solve these problems without having a war, especially when you're talking about dragons. Fighting comes naturally to us.
You should know. You attacked me when you barely even knew me. She flicked her tail forward, and Clay saw the ugly red gash in her scales. He felt queasy and guilty. Could they have done something else instead of attacking her? Would everything be different now if they'd found a peaceful way out? Tsunami looked flustered.
And who should be the next Sandwing Queen? Scarlet asked. Burn? Blister? Or Blaze? I'd love to know if you've already decided that, from the wisdom and wide experience of your safe little underground cave. That's not our fault, Tsunami said. We wanted to be out in the world.
Queen Scarlet looked amused again.
That's what you think, she said. Hilarious! As if you'd have survived this long out here. Your minders did tell you what happened to all the other dragonettes born on the brightest night. Didn't they?
Starflight inhaled sharply. He and Tsunami exchanged glances, but Clay didn't understand. The Guardians had never mentioned any other dragonettes born on the brightest night, like they were.
Tsk, tsk,
Queen Scarlet said, seeing the surprise on their faces. Well, I won't go into details, but it was very sad.
Excuse me,
Clay said. Starflight trod on his foot, trying to shut him up, but Clay jostled him away.
Ow, stop! I have a question. Excuse me, Your Majesty?
He said.
Where's Sunny? Is she all right? Oh, the funny-looking Sandwing, Queen Scarlet said. I think Burn will like her very much. She collects curiosities. You should see her palace. It's quite horrifying, full of two-headed lizards and seven-toed dragon talons and stuffed scavengers with the palest skin you ever saw. She shuddered. That misshapen dragonette will be the perfect present for her. You can't give Sunny to Burn, Tsunami flared. We have to stay together.
I can do whatever I like, Queen Scarlet said.
This is my kingdom.
What about Glory? Clay asked. What's wrong with her?
Nothing's wrong with her, said the queen. She's quite perfect, if you ask me. A lovely accessory for my throne room.
But why is she all sleepy? Clay asked.
Rainwings are naturally lazy creatures, Queen Scarlet said. Hadn't you noticed? But then, mudwings aren't known for their brains.
Clay stared at Glory. Had her eye twitched? Was he just imagining the slight movement of her wings? Was she asleep, or was she listening? Didn't she care what the queen said about her?
You have to let us go, Tsunami said. You can't stop the prophecy, and we'll...
Shush! Said the queen, and one of the soldiers prodded Tsunami with a long stick.
Your spunkiness is starting to bore me. Now listen. In 2 days, we are having a big celebration for my hatching day. I want all three of you to be thrilling and fierce in the arena for me. But I also promised my subjects that today's fight would be exciting. So if I put one of you into it, it would be very thoughtful if you could win. So, is the Nightwing up to it? Which of you is most likely to win a battle to the death against, say, an Icewing?
Me,
Clay and Tsunami both said at the same time. Starflight stared down at his talons, looking miserable.
Adorable,
the queen said, narrowing her eyes at them. But seriously.
Me, Clay said. I'm a great fighter. Put me in.
No way was he going to watch while Tsunami got slaughtered. Especially since the others would need her much more than him to have any chance of escaping this place.
You're delusional, Tsunami snapped at him. I beat you all the time. I'm the strongest of all of us.
Not all the time, Clay said. And a mud wing would be more exciting than just another sea wing, wouldn't it?
He said to the queen.
True, she mused. Just another sea wing? Tsunami raged. How dare you? You know I'm the best fighter.
I love your enthusiasm, dragonettes, the queen said, clapping her wings together.
Guards, take these two away.
She flicked her tail at Tsunami and Starflight. The sky wings came toward them, eyeing Tsunami's teeth unhappily.
As for this one,
Queen Scarlet pointed at Clay. Her eyes were malicious yellow slits. Prepare him for the arena. Chapter 18. It wasn't until Clay felt the sand under his talons and heard the roaring of the dragons in the stands that he realized he hadn't quite thought this plan through. He had no idea what his fighting skills would be like against an unknown dragon. His mind went blank as the Skywing guards dropped a hissing ice wing onto the ground opposite him. Did he know anything about ice wings? The sun was high in the sky, and it was much warmer in the arena than up on their prison spires. Clay could see beads of silvery liquid dripping through the ice wing's glacier blue scales. Above them, Queen Scarlet smirked from her balcony, with Glory sleeping serenely beside her. The same Skywing announcer from the day before strutted to the center of the arena and bellowed at the crowd.
After last month's battle with Blaze's army, our queen's dungeons were stuffed with Ice Wing prisoners of war. Only 9 have survived. After 2 wins, I give you Fjord of the Ice Wings!
Fjord lashed his tail and snarled at Clay.
And in this corner, an unusual case. A mud wing, but not one of our allies. No, this dragonette was found hiding under our mountains, protected by the talons of peace. Is he one of the dragonettes of destiny? Not if he loses this battle.
A murmur of laughter rippled around the seats, but in the closest faces, Clay could see expressions of uneasiness and, he thought, concern. He spotted a large mudwing in one of the balconies, frowning down at him.
Try to stop this, Clay thought at him, praying hard. Do something. I'm one of you.
But the mudwing shifted his gaze away, as if he didn't want to watch, but couldn't afford to leave. The Skywing announcer went on.
If these prophesied dragonettes are as wonderful and legendary as they're supposed to be, this should be a showdown to remember. I hope you're prepared to impress us, Dragon of the Mud. I present to you, Clay of the Mud Wings. Claws up, teeth ready, fight!
Clay blinked as the Skywing flew out of the arena. He'd never been called of the Mud Wings before. It might have been a warmer feeling if he hadn't been surrounded by more than 200 dragons, including Mudwings, ready to applaud his imminent death. He felt quite far from wonderful and legendary as the Ice Wing slithered toward him. This was it. Kill or be killed. Time to find out if he did have a monster inside, and if it was the useful kind, or the kind that would make him hate himself afterward. Or both. Fjord's pale blue scales were the color of sky reflected in the snow on the distant mountain peaks. His eyes were slightly darker blue and full of malice. Extra horns like a ruff of icicles stood out around his head. A long claw scratch down his neck had barely begun to heal, with dry blood still sticking to the scales around it. He hissed, darting a deep blue forked tongue between his icicle-sharp teeth.
Hello, Clay said as the ice wing drew closer. Fjord, right?
Fjord stopped and stared at him, still flicking his tongue in and out. He was only a head taller than Clay, but he looked a lot older and scarier.
I've never met an ice wing, Clay said, edging back a step. I've never met much of anyone, really. I mean, I guess I read that you were all the color of ice, but I didn't realize ice came in so many colors. Like, you know, blue. Very surprising. It's cool, though.